hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
Thank God for another Saturday. This is Eben. It's always a privilege to come your way Saturday nights. I see all the time that is quite an interesting time for me because of this program. And indeed, we thank God for how far He's brought us. So fast, the year is cruising. And I was just telling someone this morning that, but we just had Christmas, and it's like so soon, March is already ending. And wow. Anyway, we thank God for the gifts of life. So from now till 9 p.m., I will be with you, look at some of the news happening in the world. And last week, for those who listened to the interesting discussion I had with the teacher in the secondary school, I'll talk a bit about it this evening. And indeed, for those who missed it, go to spiritissues.info or in the Telegram group, Spirit Issues. You get the recording and listen to it, because it's important we get informed. The devil is a strategist, using strategies to outwit the ignorant ones or those who are not aware of his devices. But I believe as we go this way in terms of knowing how he's doing things and what he's scheming to do, then we can outwit him, and we can also educate our children. It's very, very important we let them understand some of these dynamics. And that's why I'll be talking a bit about it tonight from the biblical point of view, as well as to how to do some of these things, how to counter it and all that. So tonight is an important night as well. We'll be talking. So basically it's about the words. I mean, how words are powerful and how it's being used by both sides. So the devil is using it in his camp. And Christians, sometimes we are not too active in using it, but we'll talk about it. But first, the news. Well, for those who follow international news, you saw what ISIS did in Moscow, and the death toll has crossed over 150 so far. They attacked a concert, a music place or whatever in the mall, and wow, it's quite a serious thing. They've arrested 11 people, but so far, according to Russia, they have information that some of the people arrested had contacts in Ukraine, contact numbers or contact information. So that means after the attack, they were fleeing through the border to Ukraine. And this changes the whole face of this war because, the way already the war has shifted into a certain way. Ukraine is really failing and having serious attacks, and Russia is really dominating and doing a lot of destruction this week. The war is virtually, you know, the West, in terms of the NATO and all the Western guys, they pushed Ukraine into the war, you know, fight, we'll give you arms, we'll support you. And now the support is not coming as it should have. And so the war is becoming something else. But, well, this world we are in is you know, the West is always doing their things to create confusion in the world, and behind the scenes some are making their monies from these munitions and all that. But then on the other side of the world, where we have the Gaza war as well, the Yemen rebels backed by Iran successfully landed a missile in Israel, and this is the first successful launch. That they've been firing several missiles, but they get intercepted sometimes by the military forces, U.S. forces in the Red Sea area, like those areas. So it never gets to Israel, but this one landed. And this, I'm sure this is going to give them extra boost to continue firing more and more. This war is something else, and well, we keep watching. But then another one is trying to rear its head little by little, Taiwan, China, because Taiwan admits U.S. troops now stationed on Chinese border. And Taiwan has officially confirmed the presence of U.S. troops stationed on its islands in the Taiwan Strait permanently, a development that could further escalate mounting tensions with China. These people, well, just watch and see. Okay, then we have Sudan in Africa here. Sudan's case is something that is really unfortunate. I mean, because you have this nice country and suddenly that's being destroyed by his own citizens, military and emperor military groups, the country. But, this week I was having a chat with someone. It's the same Western people who are behind it. So the West, these people, they create the problem, destabilize the place, they take advantage of whatever they want to do and all that. And, Africa is now a major playground for them because, China and Russia is also making inroads. And the West, U.S. especially, and France are also not giving up. But, so this whole tension already, they've lost. France has lost Mali, Burkina, Niger. And that's quite a major trial that they've lost. And so, there's a lot of tension in this Sahel region. But, well, we just have to keep praying for our peace and our stability. Okay, you look at some of the news now and you just wonder what is coming or what has come over humanity. I saw one today. The word is even, this is the first time I'm saying it today. Eco-sexuality. ECO, eco. So, eco-sexuality becomes the latest sexual orientation. That means people are turned on by nature, including trees. So people, they are hugging trees and rubbing themselves on trees, and that's their sexuality. People are diving into rivers, and that is what gives them satisfaction. And, there's something happening in this world now. And I believe parents have a serious work to do regarding how they let their children get exposed to the systems. We've talked about this several times, the information, the media, the cartoons, the movies, and all. You see, because all these platforms are negatively programmed to change the orientation of the youth, the teenagers, the children, and even some adults have fallen for it. This is so because the statistics are indeed showing that something is not right in the world. I've beginning of the year till now, I've been doing a lot of research and reading and learning and all that on the mind, the brain. So I've listened to some neuroscientists giving talks on how technology is having effects on the mind, or like the brain, sorry, put it that way. And one of the sad things they talk about is how these systems are reprogramming the brains of people, and the children there is even far more serious. So the devices are reprogramming us, and this is how serious this whole thing is about. So people have to really see that we are really living in times where technology, yes, is good, but if we don't exercise caution and apply wisdom, it is causing us more harm than good. And something needs to be done. We will talk about it. I trust God that this year I'll be having another edition of Digital Parenting, and I'll be having some panelists on these editions as well, talking to a few people to via phone. One of my colleagues, he is now in California, he's an expert in that area as well, so we'll be talking So digital parenting this year will be coming off, God willing. We'll be talking, we're having a number of editions of issues dedicated to these things, because you see, parents and listeners have to understand that the dynamics keep changing and knowledge is just increasing at a very fast pace. So we just can't be still with whatever we know, that oh, that's good enough. No, we have to keep increasing our knowledge base and know how to, you know, protect ourselves, guide our children, help them and all that. But then this next news: majority of Americans say religion is losing influence in public life. And that's serious. Most American adults say religion is losing influence in public life, and many are not happy about it. A new study from Pew Research Center has found. The study's findings, conducted February 13th to 25th among the nationally representative sample of 12,693 U.S. adults, found that adults in many ways yearn for the positive impacts traditionally associated with religion. Many, however, including non-religious Americans, feel what they believe or do not believe puts them in conflict with mainstream culture. Overall, there are widespread signs of unease with religion's trajectory in America, in American life. This dissatisfaction is not just among religious Americans. Rather, many religious and non-religious Americans say they feel that religious beliefs put them at odds with mainstream culture, with the people around them, and with other side of the political spectrum. Pew researchers Michael Rotolo and Gregory A. Smith and Jonathan Evans wrote. The study provides a clear statement from the public on how they want to engage with faith in the public sphere. It comes on the heels of recent Infinity Concepts report based on responses from 1,039 evangelical Protestants, which found that a majority of evangelicals only agree on just two issues that churches and their leaders should be involved with in public life: abortion and what is acceptable in public expressions of faith. Pew researchers found that 80% of American or U.S. adults see religion's role in American life is shrinking, which is as high as the sentiment has ever been in previous surveys. Most Americans who say religion's role is shrinking aren't happy with religion's trajectory. And that is where the worry is. Because over the years, you would expect that a country that was largely Christian, the influence of Christianity would have been stronger on society. But it is fading gradually. And the next news item, similar reports, says the collapse of cultural Christianity and rise of cultural queerness. How do nations become post-Christian? Wow, that's a serious question. To quote Ernest Hemingway, responses, it says gradually and then suddenly. So the question is, how do nations become post-Christian? And then the answer, gradually and then suddenly. Wow. For decades, the United States has been a bastion of religiosity, backing the trend of secularization. But in recent years, the needle has begun to move. According to 2019 poll, between 20% and 25% of American adults now identify as nones, N-O-N-E-S, N-O-N-E-S, nones, meaning they do not identify with any religion, a percentage that is higher among younger adults than other adults and likely indicative of a long-term trend. According to a 2020 Political Morning Consult poll, 49% of voting age Generation Z, that's those born after 1996, respondents identified as either agnostic or atheist, a sea change in religious identification. To unpack these numbers a bit further, consider that in 2017 survey found that only 11% of Americans claim to have read the entire Bible, meaning that a whopping 89% have not. Thus, it is no surprise that even Americans who still identify as Christian are abandoning any semblance of orthodoxy, with 40% of American Christians claiming that the Bible is ambiguous on abortion, 34% rejecting the biblical definition of marriage, and other 34% claiming that abortion is morally acceptable. And the topic of abortion, yes, I'll come back to it. There are many reasons for the rise of the nuns, but one is that many who had merely identified as Christian, as a nod to their heritage or cultural or culture, without actually believing any of its tenets, are now abandoning the label as it becomes socially inconvenient. Until recently, identifying as some sort of Christian was a net positive. That's why elites such as Barack Obama did so. But as it becomes a net negative, many are switching their allegiance to the new cultural elites. This is especially true of younger Americans who have come of age, cut off from their civilization inheritance and deformed by the public education system. For example, around a quarter of Generation Z identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or genderqueer, while just a few years ago, less than 3% of the population identified as LGBT on the LGBT spectrum. Politico reported in 2020 that a third of Generation Z's say they now know someone who uses gender-neutral pronouns to refer to themselves, and nearly 6 in 10 say forms or online profiles should now allow more options than man or woman. And that consequently, religious liberty, particularly as it relates to discrimination against LGBTQ people, does not all resonate with younger Americans. In short, the upcoming generation of Americans increasingly views religious freedom as overt bigotry. Identification with the LGBT movement is undergoing an astronomical rise. Identification with Christianity is plummeting. This worrying, very, 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 very serious. And the article goes, it's quite lengthy. It goes on and on and on. But you see, in essence, the various surveys are giving these statistical worrying trends because the church is under attack, one. And you see the youth leaving the church in various ways. And one of the, I remember reading some article some time back, and it's like one of the reasons why the youth are no longer attracted to the church is they don't see any power in the church. I mean, because church has become more of a monotonous activity, just going for going's sake, just to please your conscience. Nothing, they don't experience any power. So what's the big deal? I mean, if you go, if you don't go, you don't miss anything. If you go to, you don't benefit anything. So it's like, why go then? You see, and this is where the challenge is coming in, because the church is losing it in terms of the power. Where is the power of the Holy Spirit in the church? Most churches, a lot of churches in America, I mean, come on. There's something wrong. You see, so the numbers are just plummeting, and it's very sad because you realize something is not right. So the power is missing. And even when you come to our Ghana, here in Ghana, we have a trend of Christians, the youth, who are in church, but in church, saying yes, they are in church, but the lifestyle is something else. I mean, so you see, when you begin to have this trend of people seeing Christianity as just a social club, just go identify, your friends are going, so let's also go and identify we are Christians just to feel okay, trendy, then there's a problem. See, and this is how the Western Christianity in the Western world declined. They lost the youth lost interest in church and all that, and we are beginning to see some of those signs here as well. And the trend of this LGBT thing happening in the West is something that is, the numbers are staggering. Last week I spoke about it, and last week you heard what the teacher, we talked about in terms of how they are using food and all that. But then the reason why I want to talk about it again is the fact that, you know, food, yes, they are using it, but not only food, other things, as we spoke last week. But then the key thing he spoke about is the power of the words. You know, the food is food. Technically, it's just the normal food that has been cooked. But what makes it now spiritually contaminated is what was spoken over it by who, or, you know, the power of whoever spoke over it contaminating it spiritually is where the issue is. So the power of words is what we are talking about. It's words that were spoken over it. That's what made the change. When people take items to malams to bewitch people and all that, what does the malam do? He speaks over the items. Go and sprinkle this powder. He is spoken over it. Go and sprinkle it, this powder, in the person's table, on the person's table, or in front of the person's dog, the gates, and all that. It's words. Words. Power of words. So, what's this evening I'm just summarizing on this issue is, power of words is not limited to only the bad guys. We also have the power of words in us. But as to whether we are utilizing it to our advantage is where we are sometimes lacking. And that's what we should address and also teach our children when they go to school how to pray over the things that they use. Because it's not all the time that you would know that something is wrong with it. I mean, you may not know, but then the consequences can be different. I mean, let me just share one case that happened, for instance, where I just heard it recently, 3 weeks or so ago, in which a student who was doing well, or is doing well in school, he did well in BEC and like JHS, like, he did well in JHS and got to a secondary school, and he's also doing well there. So I think he's been groomed to be part of the science and math quiz or something like that here. And then someone who knew him at the JHS level, that is a good student, threatened that, so you brought your thing here too. You think you are going to be, you know, this, you are good type of thing here. Wait, you see. You know, when you hear such a thing, this is where we have to start teaching our children to understand the power of words. When someone threatens you like this, wait and you see. You just shouldn't take it lightly. No. You see, but, you know, I believe the boy just didn't act on it. Just took it like, well, what's the big deal? Then the next morning, the next day, this boy just in the bathroom slipped, and the bone at the ankle just broke. Not sprain. This is not sprain. Broke. So wait, you see. Then this happens to him the next day. You see, so there's power in words. Because the power emanates from the power in the words emanates from the power within the person. So if the person is powerful spiritually, then his words become powerful. So if we are Christians and we are supposed to have power over the enemy, then that means the words that we also speak as Christians should be powerful. Actually, more powerful than that of the enemies. But Christians are often not exercising this superior authority in our words. So the enemy just speaks things, says things, and for some believers, they just allow the enemy to just get the upper hand, and then whatever happens, happens. But this evening, I want us to get into the Bible briefly on a few things. Let's dwell in Proverbs first. So we get into Proverbs. Let me start from Proverbs 10. Let me start with the very popular one. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that means this is the spiritual principle. I mean, negative things can come out from the mouth and it will work. the power of the tongue, death and life. You see, so it's a matter of what you choose to say, what you believe in, and what you choose to act on. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. You see, so words are not just just saying something and that is it. Words, the words we say carry power. Words are spirits. Words have power. Words carry enormous power that can paralyze you emotionally, spiritually, and it can manifest physically. Words have power. Then Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. So no, Proverbs 18:21 says death and life. Life comes, life is, there's power in the life of a tongue. Sorry, there's life in the power of the tongue. So the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. You know, the reason why we shouldn't underestimate words is that words are spiritual. Words are spiritual. So when people make incantations, it is words that they are speaking. When libation is being poured, it is words that are speaking. Are spoken. It is words that people speak when they are cursing someone. It's words. You see, so words carry the negativity, and when someone is blessing, it's words. When someone is, you know, provoking someone, saying it, words, it's just words that we play around in this world, in the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's all about words, 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 words. But then, in the context of the world that we are in now, our children going to school, how well do they understand the words that people say or use against them? How do they use words themselves? These are the important things we have to look at. Because you see, like the case I talked about, that the person threatens you, wait and see. And the next morning, he breaks the bone in the ankle. What should this student, what should he, should he do? Or what should he has done, had done in that situation? Should he just keep quiet and walk away? Or you should resist by negating the power of whatever the person has said. You see, this is where sometimes Christians, we lose our guard, then the enemy overcomes. But when a negative word is spoken against you, resist it by saying the positive to counter it. Because it's a power of words, play of words. So you say it, I've also said it. And even when you didn't say it instantly, still say it to counter it. So you say it to counter it, as well as then pray to overcome. You see, when we allow the enemy to push against us and we don't do anything, we don't resist, and we just allow him, he will keep pushing us and pushing us and pushing us to the wall. But when he says a negative thing, you resist and say that, no, I'm a child of God. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. You also say, see, but we keep quiet, and then they do their thing. So what someone says over food, to curse it, to invoke negative things into it, a Christian, and a strong Christian who understands the power in words, could still have eaten that food by the prayer he would pray over the food, and nothing would have happened to him. I hope you understand, because it is words that have been spoken over that food. Whoever eats this should be manipulated, should be, his feelings should be contaminated, whatever. They say it, they've said it. So now, whoever eats this food, who is spiritually weak and doesn't pray to destroy any evil projections or any incantations that have been made over this. That person will not know, because you see, the reason why I said that, you may not know where a food is coming from, because I mean, it's not every food that you know exactly the source. I mean, you may not know if you are going to buy. I mean, there are instances where you still eat somewhere, you go to a restaurant, you travel, you see. So the issue of being exposed to something like this, I mean, it's a reality. But as to how we resist and how we protect ourselves is where we should now understand that, one, the world has changed. I mean, the world as we know it is now an evil place. So we should have it at the back of our minds that you just don't trust the fact that, oh, well, I mean, and if you just eat without any, I mean, there are Christians who even in now, these evil days, eat outside without even praying over it. I mean, how can you make such a mistake? Because to eat outside freely and that, no, you don't pray over it just like that. No. You don't do that. It's dangerous. Because I know of a pastor. I mean, this was some years back. We went to eat at a place some time back. The restaurant has even been closed down and all that. And then this pastor said, after we went there to eat, we had a meeting in the afternoon somewhere, like we met at the restaurant, so we ate after the meeting and all that. But he told me afterwards that, actually, after the meeting, hey, the way he struggled, his prayer life went down. Then I also realized that, hey, that is true, because around that time, I also went down in prayer. You see, so he was smart to be able to connect it to the fact that it was after this event that a spiritual change happened. And you see, these are the realities. There are some places, if you go and eat there, after eating the food, if you are not prayerful, you are in trouble. Oh yes, these things are happening. These things are happening. The world is not the same, because you don't know the one who cooked. You don't know the invocations he made over the food, the whatever he made, he said over it, whatever. You know, people are doing everything just to stay in business. You see, so if he's made some incantations over it and all that after preparing the food or before preparing whatever, but something negative has been said over this food, now the Christian who is coming to eat this food should be spiritually alert to know that you don't need to be told. Because if you don't have the spirit of discernment, or God doesn't reveal to you to see that something is wrong with it, you will not know. You just eat freely and go. But that's why we should exercise the right and authority that we have in power of prayer. The power of prayer, the words that we say, we speak. We should say something, nullify everything. I mean, these prayers, it's normal for me. I've been doing it for years now, where if I go and buy things from the market, the fruits or whatever, I pray and I come. I pray over everything before it's eaten in the house. I don't take anything for granted. We have to pray over everything. Especially based on last week's edition of what we discussed on this program. You see, so we should understand that the times are not the same. You can send your messages to 0244-638-757. 0244-638-757. You know, sometimes by the time the messages come out of the studio or sometimes at home. So if you have a question or you are sending something, a contribution, you've had an experience in some of these things I'm talking about, you can share it. 0244-638-757. I'll be back after this short break.
Living, I'm amazed at the price I chose to pay. there's no greater sacrifice. For I am crucified with Christ, and yet I live. As I hear the Savior call for day to die, I will bow beneath the weight of Calvary. Surrender to His piercing purpose that holds me to the cross, yet sets me free. I will glory in the power of the cross. The things I thought were gain, I count as loss.
On fire across the street?
Yeah. 79.4.
I think there's people upstairs. Don't you think someone should tell your house is on fire?
Don't worry about it. Somebody else will tell them. 2439.
Yeah, but what if they don't? You know, those people could die. You should tell them.
Nah, it's too close to lunch.
It's too close to lunch?
Look, it's 5 minutes before lunch. Last time I got to the cafeteria late, the Swedish meatballs were gone, okay?
Let me get this straight. Their house is on fire, and you're worried about Swedish meatballs.
If you're so concerned, you tell them.
Me? Well, you're the one that took the communications class.
Look, I'm an accountant, not a fireman.
Well, what does it take to tell them their house is on fire?
What am I supposed to do? Run around looking for all the burning houses in the world so I can tell the people inside they're gonna die?
I'm not talking about every burning house in the world. I'm talking about the one next door.
People around us need Jesus. Do you care? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Wow, beautiful one. All right, welcome back to Spirit on Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. All right. So let me just read something in Mark chapter 5, this encounter that Jesus had with Jairus. And so briefly, you know, Jairus went to Jesus that the daughter was sick. So let me read from Mark 5 from 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue a certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth thou the master any further?" So as soon as Jesus heard the word, now listen to this part very carefully. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe." And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. You know, why did Jesus intervene immediately? Because you see, the words that were spoken, the words that the man heard, "Your daughter is dead," is enough to paralyze his faith. I mean, that's it. The case has ended. So, you see, so Jesus immediately has to send an intervention. "Be not afraid," because the man was going to be afraid after hearing that negative thing. You see, so that's why we should ensure that we immediately respond to negative things, curses, whatever projections people say, threatening things they say spiritually and all that against us. Immediately respond. Immediately respond with affirmative. See, but this is why we should build ourselves up spiritually. That's why we should build ourselves up spiritually, so that when the person curses you, you resist it and overrule it by the power that you have as a Christian, as a child of God. You see, so we have to walk in power as children of God, so that we can resist the enemy's negative words against us through his children, whatever. You see, so we should understand that words carry power. Words carry power. And many in this world have lost things, lives have been destroyed because of a lack of understanding of the power of words. So people say things, they take it lightly, and it happens. You see, and that's why we should not underestimate negative things, negative words spoken against us, especially when we are aware. We hear it. You just don't sleep over it quietly, like, it doesn't matter. No. Never joke with negative words spoken, curses spoken against you, and just ignore it. No, you have to resist it. Counter it with the word of God. Counter it with a positive confession. Say something to negative, like, negate it. And see, if you don't resist, the devil will have his way. Oh, yes. That's why the food we eat, let's teach our children as they go to school, they should pray over every food they eat, whatever they use, whatever. You see, these are not things we should think, "Oh, we are being extreme Christian." No. There's nothing being extreme about it. The enemy has gone to the extreme. So why should we want to play gentle and say that we are gentle? No. It's like you are playing a rough game with someone, like the person is playing rough game with you, and you they say, "Well, still want to play gentle. They will break your legs. So you see, when the enemy takes the warfare to another level, you don't stay down there, you also jump higher and confront and resist. We should do what has to be done as Christians. You see, because the enemy is not joking. No, he's not joking around. I mean, last week, when some people heard it, like, "Whoa, I mean, this is what's happening in the world." Yes, this is what's happening in the world. And I was having a chat with one friend, and we were chatting, and he said that, "So can you imagine if there's a restaurant that is producing this type of enchantment over their food that they are selling? Can you imagine the harm, spiritual harm they may be causing?" You see, that's why we should pray over everything we consume, everything we take in. You should pray over them. We should. I remember seeing a video of someone recorded it in one of the shops in UK, where this old woman was like in a shop, and over the fruit section she was holding something like the person stood a bit far, like hiding to record the woman, so holding something like a chain over the fruits, and she was making incantations and shaking the ring, like the chain over the fruit, the things, so the fruits and things. So you can see that the woman is making incantations over the things in the shop, the food in the shop, the fruits in the shop, the vegetables. And this person was recording it. Somebody was recording it secretly in the shop. You see, so you think, you think she's just wasting her time. She doesn't know what she's doing, or whatever she's doing is not going to work. No. You don't underestimate and joke with such things. So anyone who buys those items that she invoked whatever onto it and doesn't pray over it, whatever was being invoked in those things or onto those things can have an effect on any loose, any weak person. Any spiritually weak person will be affected by eating those particular things. Because if you don't offer prayers to nullify and destroy any projections and incantations, it will have an effect on any spiritually weak person. You see, this is why we should be strong in the Lord. So even a spiritually strong person may not pray over it, but because of the strength, the power in within the person, there will still be a negative, it will resist, it will nullify the effect on the person. Because the word of God says, we'll drink poison, it will not harm us, and all that. So these are things which means that spiritually you should be strong. We should be strong spiritually. So even if we've not prayed over the thing, our strength, our spiritual strength, the power within us still resists the thing for us. But where we are weak spiritually, we are not praying, we don't have any word in us, we are just moving freely as a normal Christian, casual, shallow, lukewarm, come on, we are no longer the game has changed. So we have to step up as Christians, because the power of words has no regard for I don't know, or this one I'm not sure. No, it's a serious warfare. So it's either you are playing the hard game or you lose out. Ignorance is no excuse, as they say. So it doesn't matter if you're a believer, but you are ignorant about the dynamics and the power of words, it will still have an effect. Your ignorance doesn't mean you're exempted, no. But having knowledge is an advantage. So then you know how to do things, how to pray, and how to walk in wisdom. That's the importance of these things, walking in wisdom. And then being able to teach our children to understand that they shouldn't just take things for granted. They should be spiritually alert and also spiritually awake, so that in school they know how to handle themselves. It's very, very important. So that they know. A teacher sent me a message this week after she listened to last week's edition. I think, where is Cynthia's message? She is also a teacher in the senior high school. And said, God bless you so much for yesterday's edition of Issues. I teach in a girls' school in Kumasi. And when you warn these girls not to take or use people's things, they see you as an odd person. This is from another teacher. You know, these are realities on the ground. It's happening. Things are happening. But you see, when she wants, and this was, she sent it Sunday. I mean, Saturday, she listened Sunday morning, or Sunday, she sent this. When she wants the students, they didn't go, yeah, they, and I'm sure the people, the girls who will be thinking she's being odd, majority are Christians. And it's not that maybe they are spiritually sound and strong, and so it's like, it's like just casual. I mean, you had, just take it lightly. And this is what is happening. People are just taking spiritual things so lightly. So spiritual warfare has moved to various levels, but people are just being casual about it, thinking, all is well, all is well. No, all is not well. or is not well. So we should build up ourselves as believers. First and foremost, we should be strong in the Lord. Build up ourselves. Parents, help your children to also understand that there is warfare going on, whether they believe it or not, or whether you believe it or not. It's the reality. So let's understand that, yes, there's warfare going on. The devil is using all means available now. So we should not also sleep and lose our guard. We should be alert and then help our children to also grow so that they are not also weak. They don't just take things for granted and just become loose targets of the enemy. So let's understand and put these things in perspective that we have to be strong Christians. Now it's not a matter of choice, like, now it's a matter of, it's more of a mandate. We should be strong in the Lord. After all, even Paul admonishes us, we should be strong in the Lord, Ephesians, you know. We should be strong in the Lord. So if we are becoming weak in the Lord, let's revive ourselves into being strong in the Lord, so that we are just not walking around as ignorant believers who we just believe, oh, all is well, when indeed all may not be well. And this is where the issue is. Not thinking all is well when all is not well is very dangerous for us. Because when you think all is well, you sleep and you lose your guard. It's just like a watchman who is asleep. And, you know, he's asleep. So wherever he's protecting, the place is exposed. You know, I remember some years back where the security man, policeman who was sleeping at a place he was guarding, and the gun was on his laps and he was asleep. Like, you know, he's asleep. So with this, you don't have a security, forget it. You don't have any security. The person is asleep. So we should not be like those who sleep on the job and they become exposed. And I believe as we understand the power of words, the words spoken. Spoken words are, they carry spirit. Spoken words are not just words that, oh, he just said it, so let me just take it for granted. No, we shouldn't. Words carry power. So we should exercise that power as believers. We are the children of God. We should know who we are and walk in that belief and that faith and that authority. So you should be able to say things. We should be bold to say things and resist and pray and cancel the things the enemy is projecting against us, our families, our businesses, whatever concerns us. Pray and activate the blood of Jesus. Pray for divine covering, divine preservation. We should be bold, believing that when we pray, we are covered. Believing that there is a God that is on our side. Believing that we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We should be bold and walk in that belief. We should be bold and not allow fear to intimidate us. You see, because when they threaten you and you allow fear to take over, then now they take advantage, because fear now paralyzes you spiritually, because fear is also a spirit. You know, as you have in Timothy talks about it, fear is a spirit. So we shouldn't allow negative words to drive fear into us, just as Jesus commanded or said, spoke to Jairus, because the words that were spoken were meant to bring fear into him, so that you don't have to exercise faith again. After all, I mean, the girl is dead. What's the big deal? So fear not. Believe. Jesus had to intervene. And then, see, a lot of people were following. If you read that place on the woman with the issue of the blood and all, a lot of people were thronging on Jesus, many people. So, but after this, he sacks all of them and just leaves only three of the disciples. Because if he is to allow all the crowd to still follow, can you imagine the negative words they will be saying? Human beings, people will be gossiping, saying, so Jesus sacked all the, because all these people are jamming to be gossiping and saying negative things. You see, we should not underestimate words. Words are powerful. And if Jesus exercised his authority to stop someone from being afraid of the negative words he was hearing, why should we think we can just allow ourselves to hear negative things and will not resist it? Oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. No. It matters a lot. So this is Issues of Life, and I believe you've learned something, we've addressed something this evening. And as we, you know, we go through this Christian race, the challenges will come, the attacks will come, and all. But when we know who is on our side, then we can walk in victory boldly and confidently. And I believe that is one thing that we should not forget. It's an advantage that we have to be a child of God. It's an advantage. So we shouldn't allow that advantage to go waste. The power that we have as children of God, we shouldn't allow it to go waste. We should walk by faith and exercise that authority boldly. And I believe when we teach our children these things, it will help them a great deal when they go to school or whichever place they go to walk by faith and walk in boldness and walk in wisdom ultimately. So we thank God for this evening, and I believe, God willing, next week is Easter. Next week I won't be around, but God willing, the next meeting, that's next 2 weeks. But then, God willing, tomorrow, try and go to church. These days, some believers are just winding down. Going to church is a headache for them. But we shouldn't lose our faith. These are not times to lose our faith at all. Let's not forsake the assembly of the brethren. Good night, and God bless you.
7843-4454.
Hey, Bob, is that house on fire across the street?
Yeah. 7-9-4-4.
I think there's people upstairs. Don't you think someone should tell them their house is on fire?
Don't worry about it. Somebody else will tell them. 2-4-3-9.
Yeah, but what if they don't? You know, those people could die. You should tell them.
Nah, it's too close to lunch.
It's too close to lunch?
Look, it's 5 minutes before lunch. Last time I got to the cafeteria late, the Swedish meatballs were gone, okay?
Let me get this straight. Their house is on fire, and you're worried about Swedish meatballs.
If you're so concerned, you tell them.
Me? Well, you're the one that took the communications class.
Look, I'm an accountant, not a fireman.
Well, what does it take to tell them their house is on fire?
What am I supposed to do? Run around looking for all the burning houses in the world so I can tell the people inside they're gonna die?
I'm not talking about every burning house in the world. I'm talking about the one next door.
People around us need Jesus. Do you care? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Hey, neighbor, beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to talk to you about this fence. Remember, we both agreed to pay half.
Bob, instead of reimbursing you, I've decided to become a really good person.
What?
Hey, what's better, getting paid for half a fence or living next door to a great neighbor?
But we had an agreement, and you're not paying me. That's a bad thing.
But I don't do bad things. I'm a good person. Why, I've been doing nothing but good things for a whole year. In fact, the most recent polls show that 99 out of 100 people like me. Doesn't that prove I'm good?
Look, if you're not going to pay me, you could at least admit you wronged me. I'm willing to forgive you, but help me here.
Why do I need your forgiveness? Everybody loves me.
Well, 99 out of 100 anyway.
The Bible declares that because we have sinned, we have wronged God, and any attempt at us being good is fruitless until we first ask God for his forgiveness. Have you asked? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.